Let me tell you a sobering thought, but it's a good thought. Tonight I want to turn the spotlight of God's word on Satan, and he needs a spotlight put on him. The devil hates being exposed by Scripture. You know, a lot of folks don't expose the devil by Scripture. A lot of churches don't expose the devil by Scripture because they're part of his team. But we need to expose him and show what he really is. He is the ruler of the kingdom of darkness. Look at what it says in Ephesians chapter number 6. In Ephesians chapter number 6, our text where we started, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. The devil is not your friend. The devil is your enemy, because he's God's enemy. If you're God's child, he's your enemy. And you need to remember that. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 11. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The tricks of the devil. You know, the devil doesn't come, sweet and kind and telling you the truth. He may be masquerading as an angel of light, but he's not going to tell you the truth. He's going to tell you a lie. Eve found that out, didn't she? Hey, if you'll eat this fruit, you'll be as gods. You'll never die. Well, that was a lie. And we know he's been a liar. Jesus said he's the liar. He's the father of it. So the Bible says in verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And we're going to come back to that passage of scripture here a little bit later. But the devil is the ruler of the kingdom of darkness. He wants to be the one who spreads darkness in your life and darkness in your heart and darkness in this world. That's what he's about. John chapter 3. Jesus is speaking here to Nicodemus, and he's speaking to us. In John chapter 3 and verse number 19. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. The Bible says if we're living in sin, we don't want light. Isn't it interesting that the places of ill repute are dark? The bars are dark. The dance halls are dark. The houses of ill repute are dark. The darkness has enveloped the city. Las Vegas is dark, except for the lights, the places where they gamble. They're dark. Why is that? Because men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. Boy, I like light. Just turn on the light. Watch the cockroaches run. And so the devil is the prince of darkness, the king of darkness. And we understand here that if his people love darkness because their deeds are evil, how much more does the prince of the power of the air, Ephesians 2, verse number 2, and the power of darkness, Colossians 1, and verse number 13, how much does he hate the light? You know, he'd probably melt if he got in the light, right? He hates the light. When you shine a light in a dark place, or when you shine a light on a dark person, in this case, Satan, what it does is it helps others not to be taken captive by him. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. You know, if all we do is talk about the positive things and the things of God, we never warn people of Satan and his devices, then what's going to happen is we're going to be ignorant and we're going to be caught by him. But we need to shine the light so we are not taken captive by him. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 26. And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. When we shine the light on the devil, it helps others to avoid the snare. You know, he's setting snares everywhere you go. He's setting a snare. Snare is kind of like a noose that you would make. The first time I saw a snare, my friend was going out snowmobiling, and I happened to get on the snowmobile with him. I was about 12 years old, and we went out in the woods, and he opened up the glove box, and he pulled out this piece of wire with a stick, and I said, "What are you doing?" And he said, "I'm catching rabbits." I said, "What do you mean you're catching rabbits?" He said, "Watch." And he put the snare down in the ground, right? And down into the ice and snow. And we snowmobiled a little farther, and we put more down. And sure enough, it wasn't long, a couple of days, we went back again, and he caught some rabbits in those snares. They come running along, and they get their foot stuck in there, and they get, I don't know, sometimes they chew their foot right off trying to get out. And but the devil is one who would snare a Christian. So what's my job? My job as your pastor is to shine the spotlight of the Word of God and say, hey, there's a snare over there. Don't run down that path without knowing that the devil is going to try to catch you, and he's going to try to destroy you. He's going to try to ruin your life and ruin your future and ruin the rest of your potential for God. Watch out! There's a snare. And the Word of God shines the light on the devil, so others are not taken captive by him, so others do not stumble in darkness, and so others can avoid his traps and his snares. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 2. 2 Corinthians chapter number 2 and verse number 11. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us. For we are not ignorant of his devices. Satan is not original. He uses the same devices that he's been using since the beginning of time. But you know what? They work. Did you ever meet an old mechanic? And you look at it, he doesn't have all the Snap-on tools, and you know he has lots of money because he doesn't have all those, right? And have all the Snap-on tools, and all the fancy doodads and the gizmos, but he can tell you that cylinder number one has a problem just by putting a hammer handle on it and sticking his head on it, and he can tell you, yep, that's the problem with your car, the cylinder number one. And you go to the diagnostic, and they put the big computer on there, and they charge you $14,000, and they tell you, it's cylinder number one. You're like, I could have told you that. The old guy told me, right? He knows what he's doing. And you ever see an old fisherman, right? He's got a tackle box, got about four things in there. And he doesn't have all the fancy things and all the plastic things, but he knows where the fish are. And he comes home every day with his limit, right? You ever see an old plumber? He stinks. No, I'm sorry. You ever see an old plumber? And he's got the monkey wrench, and he's got the channel locks, and he's got a few things. And I mean, he goes in there, and he fixes the plumbing, and he gets the sink working again. And he knows what he's doing. It's not complicated. You know, the devil's kind of like that. He's been studying human beings for 6,000 years. And he says, oh yeah, I know how to catch you. I know how to trip you up. I saw what you looked at. I know what you thought about. I know that caught your eye. I'm going to give you more of that. I'm going to feed you some more of that. I'm going to catch you when you're not paying attention. I'm going to get you when you're weak. And so we're not ignorant of his devices. So tonight, I want to shine the light of Scripture on the devil. Now, it's been exciting these last, 5-6 weeks or so. Listen, we've been challenged to give out gospel tracts. I mean, the first day, Pastor Chatfield challenged me, give out 100 gospel tracts in a week. And I said, okay, kind of aggressive. I'll do that. So I had to start on a Sunday night. So I'm out here, and I'm catching people over by the parking garage, and I caught two guys, and they said, hey, yeah, we've been to church before. Yeah, we want to come back and talk to those guys. Give up one here on the sidewalk. One lady didn't want one, but it's okay. And so Monday morning, I'm out there. It's early, and so I'm talking to this guy, Patrick, and he just didn't want a track. He wanted to hear about the Savior. And I said, okay, who am I to stop, you know, just give you a track and say, see you later, hope you read it and get saved, otherwise you're going to hell. All right, so we went through the gospel, and he says, after about 8 minutes, he says, Pastor, I hate to cut you short, but I got to go to work, I'm going to be late. I said, can I walk with you? He said, sure. I said, where do you work? He showed me over in the plaza, right? So we walked about a mile, and I went through, and about the time he was going to get saved, we stopped in the middle of the street, and we prayed, and he prayed, and he trusted Christ. Patrick is his name. And so he's an Afghan war veteran. So over here. And then that morning, boy, it was an exciting morning. And we got some people coming on the bus, hopefully this week. We've been trying to get them to come every 3 weeks now. And boy, it's exciting. People getting saved, people getting engaged, and then we have got new people going out witnessing, and couples getting saved, and families getting saved. And boy, they're coming to church this morning. They're coming to church from getting saved on Thursday night. It happens. You got saved. Guess what? You're in church, right? It happens. Where are they? Well, you know what? They're somewhere. So go back. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. That's what Paul said. He said, I'm interested in your salvation, but I'm also interested in your Christian growth. And so now people are getting saved, and visitors are coming to church, and saved people are getting baptized. And boy, that's exciting. But can I tell you what's going to happen? The next shoe that's going to drop is Satan is going to show up. Oh, he hates it when people get saved. Listen, you can have us four and no more, and you can play church and rearrange the chairs and sing your, I don't even know what it is, Gloria Patra, right? And the Hallelujah chord, and all this stuff. And you can talk about mumbo jumbo, and he doesn't care. But boy, when people start getting saved and saved people start getting baptized and man, you have your classes growing and great things are happening in people's lives and things are miraculous, things are happening and people are praying. Hey, the devil hates that. I was reading a story and there was a Russian special forces commander in Syria and it was 2016. He was surrounded by the enemy soldiers, the Taliban. And he called his commander, and he said, I'm going to die. I'm stranded out here. All my guys are either dead or they took off. And he said, I want you to send in an airstrike on my position because there are dozens of Taliban fighters around here. They're going to kill me. If you send in an airstrike, at least they'll all die with me. His commander said, we can't do that. We got to evacuate. And he said, there's no way. I'm trapped. There's not enough time. I'm out of ammunition, almost. I'm going to die. He called in an airstrike, and he blew up himself. He was a husband, going to have a little baby, and he blew up himself and dozens of Taliban fighters. Now, that's kind of how I feel when I say, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. The devil's going to show up because I'm calling in an airstrike on myself. I'm shining the light on the devil, and the devil says, you know what? I am going to call in something on that pastor and his family, and it happens. But I'm going to call in something on that church. And boy, when you shine the light on the devil, he's not happy. But thank God, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen? So we're just going to keep on moving forward, and devil or no devil. So thank God we have Christ as our Savior, have the Holy Spirit as our earnest, and we have heaven as our home. So we're not going to worry about that. But in the case of the devil, thank God we have the armor of light. Look at Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. The Bible says we have the armor of light. I like that little description. Romans chapter 13 and verse number 12. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Who's supposed to put on the armor of light? We are. Saved people are. We're supposed to put on the armor of light, cast off the works of darkness, and put on the armor of light. You see, we need the armor of light and the armor of God. It does attract the fiery darts of the wicked. It does declare our position to the enemy. Listen, if you walk around with the armor of light, Satan sees it. If you walk around with the armor of light and the armor of God, the devil says, okay, I see your position. You've declared it. And he's going to call in shots on you. Don't worry about it. You have the shield of faith, wherewith we shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Listen, you are not going to be an undercover Christian and do just enough to get by for God and have God bless you. Well, I'm just going to be an undercover Christian, and nobody's going to know that I'm a Christian. Hey, the devil knows you're a Christian already, but God can't bless you. God can't bless you if you do just enough to get by. You can't be an undercover Christian and have God fill you with his spirit like he wants to, and have God use you and see souls saved and lives transformed by the power of the gospel and the influence of Jesus Christ if all you're wanting to do is be an undercover Christian and do just enough to get by. God won't bless you. God won't bless you. You'll not see God do miraculous things in your life as an undercover Christian. You'll not see God salvage souls and potentials and families as an undercover Christian. As an undercover Christian, you'll not see marriages healed and homes put back together, relationships restored, prayers answered, and great grace in your life as an undercover Christian. You might as well just say, you know what? I'm going to declare my position. I'm going to let everybody know that I am putting on the armor of light. God already knows you're saved. The devil already knows you're saved. You might as well declare your position. Whose team are you on? You know, I read a story about a guy in the Civil War, and he lost his coat. And so he went out on the battlefield, and he found a coat from the other side. You know, he was a Union or Confederate, whatever he was. And so he walked out there. He had on like a hat from one side, the pants, the blue from one, the gray from the other. And he walked out in the middle of the battlefield, and he got shot at from both sides. Why? He was trying to play both sides of the field. You can't do that. You can't be a Yankees fan and a Red Sox fan, all right? You can't try serving God and serving the devil. You can't drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You can't eat at both tables. It's not going to work. Hey, if you're going to eat at the table of God forever when you get to heaven, you might as well eat at it here, amen? Put off the works of darkness. That's a choice. Put on the armor of light. But when you walk in the light as he is in the light, and you put on the armor of light, you are putting the devil on notice. I have declared my position. Here I stand. Look at the description of Jesus, 1 John chapter 3. I like this description of Jesus. Hey, this is good. The people at the restaurant are hearing preaching instead of honky-tonk music, amen? That's what they need. We've got to sing louder on Sunday nights. 1 John chapter 3, verse number 8. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. We know that. Now look at the rest of the verse. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. What does Jesus want to do? He wants to destroy the works of the devil. Jesus didn't come to play patty cake with the devil. He came to destroy the works of the devil. He came to ruin them and annihilate them. Well, you and I are supposed to be like Christ, aren't we? Then what should we be doing? We should say, I am here to destroy the works of the devil. Hey, devil, I want you to know, God is public enemy number one, but I'm on his team. I'm not public enemy number one. I'm just one of his foot soldiers, but I am onward Christian soldiers marching on to war. Devil, game on. I will wear the armor of light. I will declare my position. We have a mandate in the Bible to destroy the works of the devil. To attack him fore and aft. To attack the devil from the time we get up until the time we go to sleep, we are to live for God. From our childhood through our youth and our adult life to old age, we are to live for God and destroy the works of the devil. There's no time when you can let off. There's no time when you can stop. There's no time when you can slack off. The problem with many of God's children is they haven't decided to be all in for the Lord Jesus Christ. Once you decide, if you haven't already, I'm going to get all in for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to jump in with both feet, and I'm going to serve God with my life. Declare your position. The armor of light is the whole armor of God. Ephesians 6, I said we'd go back there. Ephesians chapter 6, there's so many pieces. It starts with the helmet of salvation. Verse number 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. We are to take the whole armor of God. Some folks take the helmet of salvation, and that's all they ever take. Can you imagine a soldier going into combat with only a helmet? Can you imagine a soldier going barefoot into combat with no body armor on, only a helmet? Can you imagine a soldier with no weapon, only a helmet? And yet so many people say, well, I'm going to heaven. Okay, that's the beginning. That's the foundation. That's square one. Go on unto perfection. Continue. Grow in grace. And so we are to have every piece, the helmet of salvation, our loins girt about with truth, the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, giving out the gospel, the shield of faith to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and praying always. The whole thing held together with prayer. Let's look at what the devil does while he's walking. What does the devil do while he's walking? The Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Can I tell you what the devil wants to do while he's walking about seeking whom he may devour? You know, when I was a little kid, I used to watch, Wild Animal Kingdom? You know, they had Mutual of Omaha, right? Yeah, Mutual is black and white, right? Mutual of Omaha, Wild Animal Kingdom. You had the UHF, remember that? And then you had to like click, 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 and all the fuzz went away. And you had the rabbit ears. You had to hold one of them and stick out your tongue like that, right? And then hope there wasn't a wind blowing the wrong way. And so I'd watch Mutual of Omaha, Wild Animal Kingdom. I'm like 5 years old. I'm sitting in the living room and right after Captain Kangaroo, all right? And so I'm watching Wild Animal Kingdom and the guy's on there and he says, and the little water buffalo is getting away from his mother. And he's not paying attention. And the mother's over there, and she's eating, right? And the little water buffalo, he's like 80 pounds, right? Little water buffalo. And he's over there, and I'm like, oh, no. And he goes, and the, yeah, he did the same thing, right? And the lion's coming through the grass, right? Shh, shh, shh. And he's like scoping out the water buffalo, and his tail's going like that, right? And he's looking, and you see the, you know what I'm talking about, right? I was traumatized. And so the little water buffalo is lagging behind, and the mother water buffalo is over there, and all of a sudden the lion's like, okay, I can cover. Yeah, I'm like, go, 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 little buffalo, go, 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 please. I'm trying to make noise, right? Ah! You know? So the lion can hear. And all of a sudden, here he goes. He takes off. He can cover the distance between the water buffalo before that mom can get there. And he runs out there, and boom, and he grabs that, and he drags it away, and he eats it. And I thought, man, you should have stayed close to your mom. Yeah, you shouldn't have gotten out of the pack, right? You should have paid attention. What's the devil do? He's seeking whom he may devour. He's watching for you not to have your devotions. Ah, yeah, get away from your Savior. Yeah, go ahead, don't read your Bible. I got this. I've been reading my Bible my whole life. I don't have to read it today. I tell other people what it says. I don't need to read that. Yeah, you better be careful because you're going to be on the menu. Oh, I don't need to pray today. I prayed last week. I prayed this morning. I don't need to pray. You better pray or the devil's going to eat your lunch. Oh, I don't need to live for God. It's just a little fox that spoils the vine. Oh, I don't need to do that. It's a little disobedience. Nobody really sees. God sees. What does the devil do? Number one, he wants to scatter the sheep. If he can scatter the sheep, then he'll get the sheep that are all by themselves. And he'll try to eat them and devour them. Jesus quoted, look at Mark chapter 14. Jesus quoted Zechariah chapter 13 and verse number 7. But I'm going to give you Mark chapter 14 because it's probably easier to find, okay? He quoted Zechariah 13:7, and he quoted it in Matthew 26:31 as well. Mark 14, verse 27, and Jesus said unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, Zechariah 13, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. Now, in the context of what we just read, it was just after the Passover meal, what we call the Last Supper, and right before Jesus' prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus was on the Mount of Olives, and he was talking about his soon crucifixion. On the cross, in fulfillment of the oldest prophecy of that day, on the cross, the oldest prophecy to be fulfilled of Calvary was given in Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 15, thou, Satan, shalt bruise his, Jesus, heel. The great shepherd of the sheep and the chief shepherd was smitten on the cross. He bore our sins in his body on the tree. Now what happened to the sheep when he was smitten? Mark chapter 14. Same chapter. You could read it in Matthew chapter 26 and verse number 56. But we're in Mark chapter 14 and look at verse number 50. Mark 14 verse 50. And they all forsook him and fled. Who are they? The disciples. They all forsook him and fled. Peter would deny Jesus 3 times. When Judas came, they all forsook him and fled. Then the disciples were scattered. Thomas would deny him. Thomas would doubt him, rather. Peter would deny him. The sheep scattered because they did not want to be identified with the Son of God. What does the devil try to do? He tries to scatter the sheep. They didn't want themselves to be smitten. If you identify with Jesus, back in this first century, there was a price to pay. Oh, you're a Christian? You're one of them. Your speech betrayeth you, they said to Peter. We know who you are. You're a Galilean. You're a Christian. Paul said it this way. Look at Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 7. Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth. I'm sorry, verse 17. From henceforth, let no man trouble you, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Paul said, I've been beaten with rods. I've been stoned. I've been left for dead. I've been in perils of my own countrymen. I've been in perils of robbers. Can you imagine Paul opening up his jacket? All these scars I have. I've been whipped and put in the stock in the prison. In the innermost stock, I've been beaten and left for dead. It costs something to be a Christian back during this time in the Bible. You know, it really doesn't cost us a lot to be a Christian today. It costs us some time. Maybe somebody laughed at you. I think you'll be okay. But there's a price to pay. To identify with Jesus, there's a price to pay. Galatians 6, verse number 12, says there is a persecution for the cross of Christ. Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 12. And as many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. You and I have suffered no persecution, really. Paul said, I will glory in the cross. Verse 14, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice the 2 ways that he mentions it. By whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. There's a 2-way crucifixion there. The world doesn't want anything to do with me because I've declared my position. I am going to put on the armor of light. People say, well, I don't want to be around Paul. He's a fanatic. He's a Christian. And he says, you know what? And I'm crucified unto the world. I don't want to have anything to do with this world system either. There's a 2-way crucifixion. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 31, Paul said this, I die daily. Well, you know, I tried that one time and it didn't work. Well, you got to die daily. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It's a daily thing. I'm crucified. I die daily. Some Christians, their problem is they've never died. They've never died to themselves. They've never died to sin. They've never died to their will and their wishes and their wants and their desires and their flesh. And they'll never live to God. Others have tried the crucified life. And they didn't stay crucified. How does the devil scatter the sheep? He scatters them. Why does he scatter them? Think about the scattered sheep. They're away from the shepherd. Think about the scattered sheep. They're prey for the roaring lion. You know, if he's going to devour you, he's got to get you away from the shepherd. Jesus, the Lord, who is my shepherd. If the devil's going to devour you, he's got to get you away from the shepherd because the shepherd will protect you. So he tries to get you away from the shepherd. How does the devil scatter the sheep? Look at Isaiah chapter 53. And this is a very simple thought. Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53. Yet there's something here that if we're not careful, we'll miss it. Isaiah 53, we're familiar with this messianic prophecy in Isaiah 53. What a wonderful chapter. I hope you memorize it. Look at verse number 6. All we like sheep, right? Saved people have gone astray. Now, the Bible tells us how we do that. We have turned everyone where? To his own way. Now, wait a minute. My own way, I figured it out. It's a pretty good way. I've been doing this for a long time. I got this Christian life thing down. I figured it out. I'm a professional. I can handle this. It's like the basketball on the finger, right? Just come by and tap it once in a while. It stays right up there. I can do this. No, you can't. The devil says, I want you to think that you can do the Christian life without Christ. I want you to think you can have a Christian walk without walking with God. I want you to think you can do it your way. Do you see a scattered sheep? Yes. All we like sheep. We've been scattered. How? Do you see here sheep not following the shepherd? Here is a sheep, a prey for the roaring lion, Satan. We have turned everyone to his own way. Here is a sheep to be devoured by the devil. When the devil devours you as a Christian, a sheep, you may not physically die. In some cases, you will. In most, you will not. Instead, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Instead, you will have a life of fruitlessness, a life of withering and worthlessness. Look what John 15 says. Now, John 15 is talking about saved people. I know men gathered them and cast them into the fire. But the Bible says for lost people that angels cast them into the fire. So it's not talking about saved people dying and going to hell, because that's impossible. Once you're saved forever. You can't lose that. I am the true vine, verse 1, Jesus said. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. So the Bible says here, the only way we're going to produce fruit. Look, I have a couple apple trees. If I took a branch off the apple tree, just a couple weeks, it's probably already blooming. I haven't looked at it. If I took a branch, I just whacked it and cut it off, and I brought it in here, you say, man, look at that. It's got flowers on it. Yeah, but it's going to die. It's not going to produce fruit because I cut it off. If it had little, you know, green apples on it and I cut it off and I brought it in here and said, look at these apples. Hey, this is great. In a couple weeks, they're going to be huge. Cortland apples are going to be delicious. No, they're not. They're Cortland. They can't be delicious. All right? Just kidding. All right? No, they're not going to be delicious. They're going to die because I cut them off the tree. And we think, yeah, you know what? I can live for God without being with God. You won't. You will be withered, and you'll bring forth, the Bible says, no fruit to perfection. Oh, I can do this Christian life without walking with God. No, you won't. You might not die, but your life will be worthless, and your life will be stunted and withered. It's worse than being dead. Because a life that's not lived for Christ, for a person who is a Christian, is a continual bad testimony. I don't want people to point at Dave Carlson and say, he's a bad testimony for Christ. He is a bad billboard for the Lord Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, look at 1 Corinthians. This is kind of scary. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. There were some folks in the church of Corinth, and they were wicked. And they were living for the flesh and living for sin. And Paul wrote the letter of 1 Corinthians, and he wanted to fix the situation. And he said this, 1 Corinthians 5, verse number 5, to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. He said, it's better that the job gets finished. The person's not living for God. They're living the wages of sin, and it's better that they reaped death and died and went to heaven, because their life is a bad testimony. He said, I'm delivering such an one to Satan. for the destruction of the flesh. How the devil does this is he gets us to live our own way. My own way is not God's way. You know, the only information I have to avoid my own way is God's word. That's the only information I have. Let's look at another scripture here, James chapter 1. James chapter 1. So we all have desires and we all have ambitions and we all have goals and dreams. But the Bible teaches us that my own desires are dangerous to me. James chapter 1, verse 14. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. It doesn't mean necessarily bad, lustful things. It just means what I want, my desire, what I want for my life. It draws me away. Verse 15. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Brethren can fall into this trap right here. Well, I don't need to find out what God says in his word. I know what I'm supposed to do for God. I've got my ambitions. I've got my dreams. I've got my desires. Listen, you better filter that out with the word of God. You remember those little kids had those shape sorters, right? They probably had them in the nursery, right? Little ball that's blue and red, right? It has those yellow things you stick in there. Remember those? Triangles, oval, and circle, right? And square, and cross, and rectangle, right? And you can put a square peg in a round hole. I tried it. If you open it up, it goes right in. But you know, we have all of our ideas. And God says, you know what you better do? You better find out what the word of God says. And if your idea doesn't fit, you better throw it away. So the Bible says my desires are dangerous for me. What is the remedy? Here's the answer, and we're done. Luke chapter 22. What is the remedy for my own way? How can I keep myself from doing what I want to do and keep myself doing what God wants me to do? Jesus gave us the answer. He gives us the answer every time, doesn't he? Every time. Luke chapter 22. And verse number 42, saying, here's Jesus praying in the garden, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. What's the remedy for me doing my own thing? Saying, you know what, God, I don't want to do what I want to do. I want to do what you want me to do. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. I hope that'll be your prayer. Listen, we are declaring our position. Gospel Baptist Church is giving out the gospel. People are getting saved. Saved people are getting baptized. Converts are coming. People are growing. The word of God is going forth, and the devil is mad. So you might as well just declare your position. You know what? I'm on the team. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. You know what? It's a great place to be. But I'm just warning you, the devil is on notice. Now, don't let him catch you doing your own will. As long as you're staying in God's will, you get that shield of faith, the fiery darts are going to come, and they're going to hurt. They are going to hurt. And the devil does not fight fair. You'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, but boy, the devil does not fight fair, does he? Thank God we have God on our side. Let's